All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, Chief Warrant Officer, Helicopter Pilot in Vietnam in 1969. I want to welcome you to our program today. This is Veterans Radio, the voice of America's veterans. Our program today has got a couple of different parts to it. We're going to be interviewing a gentleman who's involved with the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project. And many, many of you are familiar with Charlie Daniels, I am sure, his music. And it's a great project. It's really kind of cool. What they do is they raise funds and then they distribute those funds to other charities that are doing work with veterans. And then we also have an interview with Keith King, who is the head of the National Veterans Business Development Council, with some really important news for those of you that are out there to trying to get your businesses going as a veteran-owned business. Evidently now they are affiliated with the Small Business Administration instead of just with the VA, because there was some questionable shenanigans going on, let's put it that way, that many businesses that were trying to get credit for being a veteran-owned business turned out that they weren't. And wait till you hear this interview. The numbers that they throw around is really amazing to me. And then in the second half of the program, we're going to be doing our regular benefits program. General Carol Ann Falson from Legal Help for Veterans is going to be here. Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office will be here. He's on his way back from up north, so he may be on the phone. So hoping he will be here. But we're here to answer your questions as well about what might be going on with your VA disability claim, concerns about the health care program, the new PACT Act that was is in the process of being passed that will help the veterans of Iraq, Afghanistan with the burn pit benefits that are included in it. So there's lots of things always going on here on Veterans Radio, and we want you to give us a call if you have any questions or concerns you'd like to get in on. That number is 734-822-1600. Wham! That's it. That's who we are right here on 1600 AM here in Ann Arbor, WDTK in Detroit, Michigan, KMET out in California, and on the internet at veteransradio.net. I want to make sure that we thank our sponsors before I get too carried away. Number one, of course, is our Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. For more help, give them a call. Call Legal Help at 800-693-4800. Or go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com. You can start your claim right there. As I mentioned, the National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, it's the nation's leading third-party authority for the certification of a veteran-owned business. For more information, you go to their website, nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information about this particular VA, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. The Veterans Lending Council, you can find them on Facebook. What they do is they are providing presentations so that you as the veteran or as a realtor or as a banker can learn all that there is to know about VA loans. That's the Veterans Lending Council. We also want to thank American Legion Post 46 out of Ann Arbor. That's the Irwin Prescorn Post. The Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles S. Kittles, Post 310. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, you name it. I think we're out there. You can listen to our programs. You can listen to our archived programs. So many things are going on around us here at Veterans Radio and Veterans Radio America. So I encourage you to go to our website to see what's going on. There's one main event that I need to point out to everybody here, and before I forget it, and that is coming up on July 23rd here in Ann Arbor, Saturday, July 23rd, and that's the Washtenaw Vet Fest. And this is being sponsored by the local VCAT 9 organization, and this is, as I said, it's a Veterans Community Action Team, and the attendees to event are asked to RSVP in advance. Because there's going to be food, there's going to be entertainment, there's all going to be all kinds of organizations that are going to be there to help you with claims, to help you with housing, all sorts of things that are designed to help you. They got rock climbing wall, repurposed ambulance, military vehicles, face paint, ice. There we go. Ice cream, raffles, and a bounce house. I'm not going into a bounce house. That's too dangerous. But it says it's Vet Fest. Eric Fretz, who's on our board here at Veterans Radio America, he says Vet Fest is our answer to how you get veterans to come out in a big group in one spot where they can very efficiently access and be exposed to 50 to 100 service providers. I think that that's really kind of cool because the VA is going to be there. The Blue Star Service Dogs are going to be there. VFW, Habitat for Humanity, and Texas Roadhouse. We're going to be handing out free peanuts. Kind of cool, right? So there's lots of people in Michigan, agencies, nonprofits, and so forth who are here to help veterans, and this is what this Vet Fest is going to be. So mark it on your calendar, July 23rd at Washtenaw Community College here in Ann Arbor from, let's see, what time is that again, Dale? It is from 11 until 3 p.m. So make sure you do that. All right, let's get right into our first interview. This is really kind of fun. Everybody, as I said, everybody knows about Charlie Daniels and his great music, country music, and so forth. But he was very involved with veterans activities, and he, you know, he spent time touring in Iraq and Afghanistan, putting on shows. He went to pretty much every military installation in America, putting on concerts. And he and his partner signed up a program called the Journey Home Project, as I mentioned. So we're going to go right into that interview right now. And here it is. Go. Joining me on the line right now is David Corlew. And David is the longtime manager of Charlie Daniels and co-founder of the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project. And the reason that we asked David to come on the program is that they've got a big fundraiser going. And so we wanted to tell you all about it. So, David, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, thank you, Dale. Appreciate so much, obviously, having me on this morning to share the good news with what's going on with Journey Home Project. But thank you for what you're doing and broadcasting out to our veterans around the country. Got to look out after our men and women.
Absolutely. So I was familiar with the Journey Home Project a little bit, but I've kind of lost context. So tell me about the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project. What is it that they do?
Well, the Journey Home Project was something that was born out of, I went to work for Charlie in 1973, and I worked for him for 47 years. And certainly during, really started in the late 70s, we entertained, I think we played every forward operating base in Europe during the Cold War, during the late 70s and 80s, and even in the 90s. But when the Trade Towers came down, obviously Charlie wanted to be one of the first artists to go downrange, and he did. And he actually went, made three trips over there. But obviously during that time period, we spent so much time with veterans, both downrange and here. And we had, you know, Charlie got a lot of requests to do fundraisers for veterans, and we jumped in there, and I had taken it on. I actually worked for some organizations, the Sentinels of Freedom, which is a wonderful organization out of California, Carmel, California, worked with Task Force Dagger, Special Forces organization. But we had raised a lot of money for different organizations. And as the war went on, some of these organizations kind of hit a few bumps in the road. And we decided if we were going to raise money in Charlie's name and be stewards of that money, we felt like we should start our own foundation. That way we could have a say so on where the money goes and what it's used for. And then to, you know, make sure that when you donated $20 to us, we wanted to make sure that went to a place that, you know, that you would like for it to be. So that's when it started. It started around 2013, a little bit of an informal start. It's grown quick. You know, we're coming up on 10 years, and our mission statement is that we support the return, the rehabilitation, and the reintegration of returning veterans, men and women, of our armed forces. There's no, if you signed on the dotted line, obviously you qualify as service veterans with us. We work with first responders. What our charter does is that we donate to other foundations. We're a flow through. Okay. We raise money. We have the ability to raise money. And what we do, we never wanted to think that we knew what was best for a veteran, but we identified some organizations that do know what they're doing and have an expertise in the areas that we like. So, we donate to other foundations is primarily what our service is.
Okay. And so you've got a big fundraiser coming up. You want to try and raise $220,000 before July 4th. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was kind of we talked about, we wanted to put together a promotion for the summer. And obviously one of the things as things change with returning veterans right now and the way I say, America doesn't know that there's a war going on, but we know that there's someone standing in the gap every day and there's someone fighting for our freedoms every day. So the suicide thing has come up. The suicide was very important to Charlie in the sense that, we had lost a lot of friends in that way. It's a pandemic. It's a crisis within the veterans community. So the number 22 suicides a day, there's 22 veterans are taking their lives. We think the number's higher, but basically with the number of 22, I thought, well, let's raise $22,000 between July 4th. And, obviously that's difficult, but we thought maybe we needed to have a higher goal. And so I opened my mouth and said we'd raise $220,000 instead of $22,000. And, the last time I looked, we were about halfway there. We're not where we would like to be, but, we're going to keep working. We're going to keep our nose to the grindstone and try to hit that number. And if we don't, we're going to take that money and we're going to try to make a difference in veterans' lives. And if we do, again, that'll give us even more funding to carry on and keep doing what we do.
Well, I think that's a worthwhile goal. That's for sure. We're talking with David Carlo here, who is the former manager of Charlie Daniels and one of the co-founders of the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project. And I think it's great. I mean, you know, we've been broadcasting ourselves for 19 years and, this suicide number has just continually, you know, climbed, until it reached, as you say, probably over 22 a day. And it's not just this generation of veterans, unfortunately. It goes back to my generation from the Vietnam era and even some of the even older veterans. And so this money, can be utilized to, you know, to reach out to these veterans and to just let them know that there are people there that care about them. Cause I think that's one of the things that they miss, I guess would be the term. And since I am not, you know, a medical doctor at all, it just seems that that's one of the things that, you know, that we ignore them and then they start having these doubts themselves. And so I think anything that you do and any of these other great organizations that are out there to help is just tremendous.
It's our commitment. It's our, we owe every man, woman, that has signed on that dotted line. You know, Charlie and I believe that, if someone signed on that dotted line, obviously signing a check that could be cashed with their life, number one. And number two, they, no matter what they did, they could have spent their time in stateside here in the United States. They no matter what their MOS was, what their job is, if you signed on the dotted line, you left your home and life changed when you left home. So coming back home, regardless of whether you were downrange, whether you were working in an office, whether you were an engineer, whatever it was, your life changed at home. And that return to civilian life has been smooth for some. Some people tell me, maybe I focus on the downside too much, but those are the folks that need help. The veterans that make the transition praise God. That's a wonderful thing. But man, there are so many that struggle. And as you know, the VA, some people love the VA. Some people have harsh things to say about the VA. In my experience, in my humble opinion, you know, every VA, it's like every hospital, every doctor, they're different. Mm-hmm. Some work, some, maybe be over too big of a workload. But we owe this debt of gratitude to returning veterans, and that's the least we could do. And Charlie, it was so important to Charlie, and obviously my life changed July 6, 2 years ago. I had a job for 47 years, and it went away with Charlie's passing. But the Journey Home Project was the greatest gift. Obviously, him and I co-founded it, and that's what I do 24/7 now. We do have a small record label. We've got a new release coming out, but I do that. But my primary job every day, day in and day out, is to bring awareness and to raise money for the service men and women of the United States of America.
Well, I think it's a worthwhile goal, David. That's for darn sure. We've been trying to do that ourselves for so long. You know, one of the terms I use all the time is that we had your back when you were in the service, and we've got your back now.
Roger that. You know,
you're never in this thing alone, and I think that's what's so important. So if I want to raise money, how do I get money to you?
Well, you know, obviously the best way is to go to the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project.org.
Okay.
And the first thing you see is the donate button. Obviously, there's information. We actually are doing a program where for a $50 donation or up, you have a multiple choice of T-shirts. We've got the 22 a day T-shirt. We've got the Remember Everyone Deployed T-shirt that's available. But yeah, come on and donate. And you know what? If you can't donate, these are hard times. We know what's going on with our fuel prices, our food prices. This country's in a tough place. And so if you can't donate, just spread the word. And it doesn't have to be us. Find a foundation, find somebody that's doing the work that you like, and help. Obviously, we'd love for you to support Journey Home Project. But if you have a better idea, another foundation, something in your neighborhood, your community, support them. Do something. Volunteer. Donate money or just spread the word.
Or donate your time. Reach out. Reach out to any veteran that you might know that might be lonely for whatever reason. And give them a shout out. I was asked, and this looks great. You also have an album that is coming out pretty soon that took place back in 1974.
1974, yes. Charlie created that event, and that's what that is. That's the first. We were going to record some live cuts for an album, and we were playing at home. It was early in Charlie's career. We played a small venue. It was, an 1,800-seat venue. And it was our first time to play in our hometown, and we were excited. So we decided to invite some friends, and that was Dickie Betts from the Allman Brothers and Toy Caldwell, who was the founder of the Marshall Tucker Band, who had all the great songs, Can't You See, and stuff. He was a former Marine, not a former Marine. He was a Marine.
Correct.
His brother was a Marine. His dad was a Marine. And, so we invited Toy and Dickie Betts, a couple of other members from the Marshall Tucker Band, and they came up and we played that night and we recorded that show. Well, in Charlie's passing, obviously, we're going through our vaults, and we found the audio to that first performance. That concert went on to become the Volunteer Jam. I think we did 23 Volunteer Jams. And that was a night where we invited all the entertainers that we knew, that we had toured with, that we'd worked with. And you could come to a Volunteer Jam in Nashville, you know, in January or February, and you could see Billy Joel, and on the same bill, you'd see Ted Nugent, or you could see Roy Acuff or Vince Gill. So it was there was no boundaries with music. There was country, there was rock. Obviously, there were no color barriers. We had James Brown. We had B.B. King. We just, it was a night of fun. And that's what Charlie loved to do, is to jam and play with other artists. So that started a tradition of 23 years that we did that. And so finding the so-called lost tapes of the first volunteer jam was exciting for us. And so now we want to share it with the rest of the country, those people that love Charlie's music and have followed him over the years.
When does that become available to everyone?
It's going to come out. I think August 17th is the street date. You can do pre-orders already. You can go to obviously it's available on Amazon, and you can also go to Bob Frank Distribution, which is you can find it. All you have to do is go on social media and punch it in, and it'll take you to a site where you can purchase it.
Okay. Well, I think that's great. And I think that, you know, we should all try to, you know, help out the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project by making a donation, because they will share the money with organizations wherever you may be that might be able to help out these veterans and get that number 22 a day down to zero a day. That would be the ultimate goal, wouldn't you think?
We would love that more than anything. We work with two great organizations. We work with the Shepherd Center out of Atlanta, who they have a wonderful PTS, facility down there. And we also work with, Warrior's Heart, which is down in Bandera, Texas, which is a great facility, which takes all veterans, takes first responders. One of the issues today is that some of these facilities and centers that specialize in TBI, they only take post 9/11 vets. And so what we like to do is work with organizations that obviously have an open door to all first responders and all veterans. But there's many facilities around the country doing great work. These are just a couple that we've identified that we love. But you know what? We've got to do it. This number, it's insane. We have to do something to curb this number and to make it go away. We want to eliminate 22. We don't want that to be a number anymore.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank David Corlew from the Charlie Daniels Fund. It's the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project.org. You can make a donation at their website. Keep an eye out for the new Charlie Daniels and Friends Volunteer Jam that'll be coming out in August. And thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio, David. And let's keep in touch.
Hey, thank you, Dale, and God bless you. And thank you for your work. I really appreciate it.
All right. That was David Corlew. He's with the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project. This is something I want all of you to look into. This is a way they kind of distribute the money around to different organizations. And if one of the things that David and I talked about afterwards is, if you have a small nonprofit charity that is helping veterans, you can apply for a grant from the Charlie Daniels Journey Home Project. So go to their website and check it out. He says that's all they do. They just act as a funnel to help out some of these smaller organizations that are out there working with veterans. As I promised, you know, Veterans Radio, as I said, is the voice of American veterans. So here we've just helped a whole bunch of veterans, hopefully, especially getting that suicide number down as low as we can possibly get it. The next little interview that we're going to do is with my partner, Jim Fausson. And Jim did an interview with Keith King, who's the CFO, COO. He's the head guy at the National Veterans Business Development Corporation. And they were talking about some changes in the recently that have occurred there. So I want to play that interview. When you come back, then we're going to start talking about benefits and see if we can answer your questions. Remember that the number here today is 734-822-1600. So here's Jim Fausson with Keith King.
Welcome. I'm Jim Fausson, and this is Veterans Radio's Spotlight on National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. Veterans Radio America has a partnership with NVBDC, the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses of really all sizes. NVBDC is a 501c3 nonprofit that was established in 2013. It addresses the growing need to identify and certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses for the corporate marketplace, but also for government work now. And we have some exciting things to talk about. The NVBC administers a rigorous certification process to design and withstand the scrutiny of governmental and corporate entities seeking to utilize such certified businesses. We're glad to have back Keith King, the founder and CEO of NVBDC, to talk about a new arrangement, an alliance, really an important step here in veteran business certification. Keith, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the newly minted Strategic Alliance Memorandum that you have had executed on behalf of the National Veteran Business Development Council with the United States Small Business Administration. Tell me what this is about.
Well, what it's about is an official recognition, if you will, as well as an agreement on how not only we can work together, but those things that we have been saying all along about this transition from the VA to the SBA in the sense of the level of certification, how this is going to work, how this transition, and who's going to be at least what I call the seat at the table. And what this, you know, memorandum did is put that officially in writing. And, you know, what it talks about is having, you know, a common mission, which is obviously to help our veteran businesses, which is why we created the NVBDC in the first place. But this one in particular, I'm pleased about, because what happens in these kind of agreements is that it's not just generic. It is, in fact, specific. And we have terms, if you will, and conditions. We agree to, you know, the scope of responsibility that the SBA now has to the NVBDC. You know, something as mundane as providing up-to-date information about the SBA's programs and services. Well, Jim, you know, we have been fighting hard to make sure that the SBA was, in fact, telling us what they're doing. And so that's the very first point, if you will, in the SBA's responsibilities to us, because one of the things that we've been trying to do is make sure, and I know some people, you know, are looking at the CVE and the VA program and still believing that, you know, that was a good program or whatever. It is a basic minimal type of program, which, as you may remember, the numbers are staggering when you start looking at the term I use is fraud, but, you know, what the government uses, I love their euphemisms, they refer to them as ineligible contracts. So if I play nice and say, you know, ineligible contracts to the tune of $500 million a year, that to us is a major issue. That's a major problem. And as I've told their director, if all you do is take the VA program and move it over to the SBA without making all these changes, all you're going to do is continue the ineligible contracts.
Well, and let me highlight this a little bit, and I'll be less diplomatic. You have to be a little more diplomatic.
Thank you.
I don't have to be. The VA certification of a veteran-owned business program kind of was, you take care of this, and they weren't really good at it. They don't know how to do it. And there were a lot of self-certified and certified veteran-owned businesses under that were really kind of a sham. That the veteran didn't really run or own the business, which is critical to this whole issue. And that's where a rigorous program of certification comes in with NVBDC. So when you have $500 million a year of sort of sham contracts that are really not going to the VA, well, that gets people's attention. And ultimately, Congress said, you know what, we ought to move this out of the VA world and move it over to the SBA world, because they're our small business experts. They're better at this. And what, right from the beginning when they started that, I know you and I talked and you said, we somehow have to help SBA make sure they do it right. And that's really where this is the culmination of that desire, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, yes. And you know, the thing then with the SBA, and I do want to acknowledge them in this particular sense, I guess when you knock on the door, nobody answers, in and of itself is a clue. You know? And thankfully, the people who are actually trying to put this program together in the sense of the transition to the SBA answered the door, said, yeah, what do you want? And we have now been actively engaged in months, a year and a half, and longer now, that we've been involved in what do I want. And what this does is it at least says, yeah, we see you, we recognize you, we understand that you have knowledge, and we want to hear it. So, you know, what we're particularly pleased with is to make sure that the most obvious kind of errors and the most obvious kind of lack of real certification is at least addressed. You know, it's kind of like I've told, you know, their associate administrator that, look, you know, you guys got to be able, it's not just doing a paperwork. Somebody actually has to understand what you're reading. I think I mentioned to you once before, Jim, what the expression I used was grandma's recipe. You know, you go into their computer system and it says, here, upload, you know, your IRS documents, and somebody uploads grandma's recipe. Well, the problem was is nobody was checking it. No one was reading it, but in the checkbox said, oh, yeah, we got your IRS records. Seriously?
Yeah, that,
know,
right.
In the operational control and authority, which you're talking about, well, you know, that was one of the absolute reasons you do an on-site visit. Well, what was at once a required annual moved to, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't every 3 years. We just saw the amount of fraud mushroom. I mean, you know, the analogy I use on that, and I think any businessman would understand that, hey, I certified you today. Tomorrow you, you know, decide to sell your business to a non-veteran.
Right. You restructure it all. Yep. Well, this is a two-way street, though. What I really like here is,
yeah,
NVBDC has all this great experience in how to do this, and it's going to be able to talk directly with SBA about what you've learned and what they ought to think about. But the reverse road is this strategic alliance memorandum that you have with SBA also requires them to provide you information on all kinds of different things that you then get to push out to certified veteran-owned businesses that you've done. So it's really a kind of a two-way street, isn't it?
Yes. And that's really why it took as long as it did and why I was, you know, wanted to share this with not only, you know, your audience, but, you know, have them hopefully, you know, share it with other veteran businesses, because this memorandum is a strategic alliance. And I've signed a lot of MOUs, but this is the first time I've had this actual title of a strategic alliance. And when you actually read the language, which I know you have, it's pretty much exactly what it says. It's an alliance. They're going to do X, we're going to do Y, and we're going to work together, as I indicated to you, you know, as a, you know, as kind of a joint mission here, because the good news is that I think that they are legitimately concerned about not only stopping the fraud or the ineligible contracts, but I think that they are legitimately looking at, okay, we were told to do a job. How do we do it? And how do we do it to a standard that we know at least exists?
Well, we appreciate having Keith King on to tell us what's going on with NVBDC and its alliance with the U.S. Small Business Association. This is good for veterans business owners.
That's why we have Jim and Keith on to talk about your veteran-owned business out there. We need to make sure that everybody's playing by the same rules. One of the things that Keith was alluding to is that there are people that will, you know, maybe hire a veteran and say, hey, why don't we make you a partner? And then suddenly they'll say that they are a veteran-owned business. And, the poor veteran guy maybe owns, 2% of the company. And that's what he's talking about with those contracts that were ineligible contracts, $500 million. So we're looking out for you, folks. This is our money, just like it's your money. And we want to make sure that it's going to the right places. So we've had a couple of interesting interviews, I think. We were talking about Charlie Daniels' Journey Home Project. We've been talking about NVBDC, and now we're going to talk a little bit about benefits. And joining me right now on the line is our expert from Legal Help for Veterans and retired Air Force General, Carol Ann Falzone.
There I am.
There you are.
Hey, good afternoon, Dale.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. Some interesting conversations.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was very, I'd like to dedicate the whole hour, but when we don't get people sending us questions about benefits, I thought I could put in some, a little bit different information that is out there. And there are so many great organizations that we could, that we could bring on the program every week, and we would never get through them, that are helping veterans, either transition from the military into the civilian life, or to get their benefits, or to get their treatment, or to get their service animals, to, all of these things. And so I'm just happy that people are contacting us and saying, hey, can you help us spread the word? And as a small nonprofit ourselves, we know that spreading the word is one of the more difficult things to do. So it doesn't look like Michael's probably going to be able to get to us today, because he was driving back from the UP. And as we know, reception up in the UP is not the greatest. So what I wanted to talk about was Carol Ann and I went to a little presentation reenactment this week. And if you'll remember listening to the program, that we did a program with a 97-year-old World War II veteran from the lives up in American House in Rochester Hills, Michigan. And so we never got a picture from when we were there. And so we went back up there, I think it was just Wednesday, to get these pictures together with the veteran and Bob Gillette, who is the founder of the American House Retirement Homes. And anyway, so we had a lot of time to talk. And one of the conversations that we had, Carol Ann, to remind you, is that you were talking about dependent income, right? DIC.
DIC.
Okay. So I had some questions, because I was not that familiar with it. And I was wondering if you could go over DIC with our audience one more time.
Sure.
I thought it was really important.
It doesn't have to do with income. DIC is death indemnity compensation. And what this alludes to, Dale, and it is very sad for me to find out, as we were talking, when a veteran has a claim in and, you wait around maybe 2 years, 3 years, and then the veteran dies. And as we all know, there is that, it is that when the veteran dies, the claim dies. And that isn't true, because if there is a spouse who then becomes the widow, you can do what is called a substitute claim. So you would go to, whether it's a county counselor or a VSO or Legal Help for Veterans, if we've helped you with your claim, and you would put in a substitute. So it would be the veteran's name, and then the widow would become the new substitute, and that's who you're representing under the veteran. And then the claim is kept alive. And so that goes forward. But DIC is when a veteran dies and the veteran dies because it was service connected, whether it was in Vietnam, Agent Orange, then you put in and you start a new claim under the widow, and that is called DIC, to say that if you wouldn't have been in Vietnam, if you wouldn't have been in global war on terrorism, whether it's, you know, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, burn pits, whatever the issue was, but you need to be service connected and recognized that you did have service and that you had, you know, you served your country. And then we would submit it. And that's called DIC, death indemnity compensation.
And how long does that normally take to get through the system?
Well, it's just like any other claim, but very good question, because this, like substitute, it doesn't have a time limit. You know, you could put it in years after the veteran dies, because a lot of times there's no awareness of some of these. You know, it's like, what? You know, I could apply for this. It's not the year rule that you have to apply for something. You know, like if you get a denial tomorrow and then you have to put in an NOD, that has to be within a year of your claim, or the claim is, you know, you start all over again with a new claim. So it's not a year rule for this. And I can't tell you how long it's going to take, Dale. To the VA. Some, you know, I have seen come across in a year. Some I've seen come across in 6 to 7 months. A couple, you know, maybe it's 2 year, 3 year mark. But you do need the DD-214. You need all the critical paperwork. The DD-214, you will need the death certificate. Those, you will need a marriage certificate. You need to prove that, you know, you were married to this individual. And being divorced, it discounts you. Once you're divorced, no benefits.
And you mentioned,
so I hope that helps a little bit.
It does. But just to clarify, so theoretically, if I had Parkinson's and I died as a result of Parkinson's, then my spouse would be entitled to whatever I was, a percentage. We don't know how much it is, but she would be entitled to a compensation for the rest of her life as well.
Well, yes. But it's not one specific, okay, so let's say the veteran has 3 or 4 different issues, yeah. And they were in Vietnam and exposed to Agent Orange. That's what would be submitted, the accumulation of that, to say that this individual probably wouldn't have accumulated all of these diseases. You mentioned Parkinson's. Maybe they had diabetes. Maybe they had ALS. That's a huge one. They wouldn't have had that if they wouldn't have served their country.
And you said there's no time limit on this.
No, there's no time limit to submit. But once then the spouse dies, if this hasn't been ruled, it does not go, it doesn't filter down. So
I think that's an important question, because I was, you know, some of these, you know, veterans, you know, or let's say they're 100% disabled, that's a pretty good chunk of change that comes in every month. And, you know, if they die, it's gone. So we have to remember, to remind the spouses to contact their VSO, whoever it might be, maybe hand it a claim and say, hey, how do I continue this on as the DIC, as you mentioned?
Well, DIC, and is there anything else that you could help me with? You know, whether it's burial benefits, Whether it's the 10-year rule now that, you know, do I get anything else because I've had this for 10 years, or a certain age? There are several, issues. And then obviously, if the veteran is buried in a military, in a national cemetery, then the spouse could go, along with the veteran, be buried with the veteran, in that capacity. So there are different benefits even after. Aid in attendance is another one. If then the widow needs medical assistance. Now that is an income-based benefit. So then you need somebody that knows some of the rules to talk to.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take a real quick break here for our Medal of Honor segment. And then when we come back, maybe we can talk about some other issues that are maybe coming up from the VA. Yep. I know that there's a new law that maybe called the PACT Act that's about burn pits. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that when we come back. Okay.
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a quick message and we'll be right back after this.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Sergeant First Class Donald Moyer threw himself on a grenade to save the lives of his comrades. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800. Moyer's platoon was committed to attack and secure terrain stubbornly defended by a numerically superior North Korean force in well-fortified positions. Advancing up the rocky hill, the leading elements came under intense automatic weapons, small arms, and grenade fire, wounding the platoon leader and platoon sergeant. Moyer rushed to the head of the faltering column, assumed command, and urged the men forward. Inspired by Moyer's unflinching courage, the troops responded. But as they reached the final approaches to the rugged crest of the hill, enemy fire increased in volume and intensity, and the fanatical foe showered the platoon with grenades. Undaunted, the group forged ahead, and as they neared the top of the hill, the enemy hurled a grenade into their midst. Moyer, fully aware of the odds against him, unhesitatingly threw himself on the grenade, absorbing the full blast of the explosion with his body. Although mortally wounded, Moyer's act saved several of his comrades from death or serious injury.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
All right, we're back here on Veterans Radio and trying to answer a few questions about what's going on with disability. And there's a new law that I guess is getting ready to go through the House, and it's called the PACT Act. And it's designed to, well, there's a whole bunch of things in there, but the main thing is that it's to help the post 9/11 veterans that have been exposed to burn pits and every other environmental toxin out there. As you know, anybody who's been out there, you know, they burn everything. But the question was, how much is this going to cost and what is it going to do? And many of these things are going to be presumed claims, so you no longer have to prove that they're service connected, correct?
Correct. And it's just like the Agent Orange, Dale, and this will be huge. I'm glad it's not taking as long as Vietnam and Agent Orange. It will be going through the Senate, and hopefully next month on our Veterans Radio, benefits program. We can talk about what those presumptives are in the point of whether it's different brain cancers or kidney cancers or which areas in the disease process have been approved presumptively. Because just like with Agent Orange, there is an array of diseases that have been put through, and all the analytical Eagle Beagles have been looking at which of those elements and how much they're going to cost. Because let's be honest, as we've talked about, every one of these, as they get approved, relates to a cost. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way, that it reflects on the budget. These young men and women, and I loved what your first speaker talked about today. Yes. We did service. We signed a blank check, and now it shouldn't reflect now that, you know, everything is how much money is it going to cost. And you know, there's another element that's coming up that we should see what it equates to. I've been reading that they're looking at changing again the community care rules, and
right. Yes.
That's a little disturbing, because it's to say, once again, as we reflect back on this, I was thinking about that. It used to be called the Choice Program. And when that first came out, I can make a choice. Do I want to go in the community or the VA? That's the way it was interpreted. But that's not the way it was meant to be. And then they kind of like curbed it in and said, you need to go back to the VA and ask Mother, may I? So now again, they're refining it, and it's not scheduling doesn't seem to be a criteria. The way I read it the other day, it's now going to be if you don't have access to a VA facility. So, you know, it might take you 6 months maybe to get a schedule. And I'm going to hold off on giving any more until we see some more info. But that also is a little bothersome, because it seems like it's based on the budget and how much it's going to cost. Yeah, and once again, our veterans don't ask that question. They sign up and they served our country, and everything shouldn't be based on cost.
Well, the PACT program that you just mentioned, which I am sure we're going to go into detail at the end of next month, they're guesstimating $300 billion over the next decade. Yes. I think that they figure it may add up to 23 illnesses that might be considered presumptive. What you were just talking about is that they're finding that this, you know, Community Care Act is it's costing too much money, because
yes,
people are going, you know, to see a civilian doctor because they can't get in with an appointment, yes, with the VA within a certain time, or the VA is too far away, and
right,
and so forth. And everybody's was encouraged to go and do this, and as you point out, well, we can't afford it.
Right.
It's up. I
right.
think he said it's up 33% or something, yes, like that over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
And so it's just, there are many things to discuss when it comes to the VA. And this is one of the things that we have to do here on Veterans Radio and all of our different organizations out there, is that, you know, without these organizations constantly going back to the Congress, legislators and everything else and saying, hey, listen, you promised this. This is what we did. We answered the call. It's time for you to, you know, belly up to the bar, as they say, and pay if something happens as a result of what we did.
Yes.
You know, you sent us there.
Right.
let's take that responsibility. And I think that, you know, it gets so frustrating when we hear all of these politicians out there saying how much they love veterans, but then they got to sign the check.
Yes. You know, you've got to support our veterans. And and take care of us. I mean, it goes back to Abraham Lincoln's and bear the burden. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep fighting, because I don't think at this first shot, Dale, and I would be real skeptical, and I'll be the first one to say, oh my God, they approved all 23. As a nurse, I don't think that will come through all 23. I mean, we're still, look at Vietnam and Agent Orange. You know, John McCain is still waiting for the glioblastoma, and everybody is still waiting. Will I be really pleased if all 23 come through? Yes. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we're going to keep talking about it until everything happens that's supposed to happen. So, Caroline Falzone, thank you very much for being on the program today. And we'll see you at the end of next month.
Excellent, Dale. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And I know we've got about a minute to go. Am I correct?
Yep.
Just by looking at my controls there. All right. So we've got a couple of programs, and I did want to let the audience know that I'm going to be out of the office, as they say, for a little while, and people are going to be covering the program for me. I get to get a brand new hip. And so Jim Falzone and Eric Fretz and a couple of other folks are going to be jumping in doing the program for July. So I want you to make sure that you tune in and pay attention to them, because they like to get in on the serious stuff. A lot of serious conversations are going to be heard. If you have any story ideas, please contact us here at Veterans Radio, and we will cover it for you. If you feel like you're being, you know, jerked around by the VA or, you know, not getting what you're entitled to, let us know, and we'll point you in the right direction to help you out. It's so important that we do that for you. You know, we've got to take care of our own, and this is what we do. So thanks again, Carol Ann. For that, we got 10 seconds, so I'm going to say thank you all for listening. Tune in next week, and until then, you are dismissed.